following podcast is provided by Pinnacle Senior Placements, LLC, and Answers for Elders Radio.
And welcome to Answers for Elders Radio. And I am here with wonderful Daphne Davis as we're talking about Alzheimer's, dementia, getting ready for the big walk this coming up soon. And you guys work with a lot of Alzheimer patients. Is that correct?
Yeah, Daphne? I do. A lot of people who have different stages of dementia and their families is who I work with a lot. And over the years, I have figured out that it is a walk that is not easy to do with your family members. And one of the things I know that people stumble on is communicating with someone who has some cognitive challenges.
Dementia and Alzheimer's, yeah.
When those challenges present themselves, and they're different at different stages of the disease, and within that disease, they're different from moment to moment. And so for the family members in particular and caregivers who are supporting the elders, it can be a real challenge to keep yourself in their world versus them coming to our world. And so some of the key phrases that I'd like to share with you in avoiding and using are things that I'd like to talk about today.
I would love that.
So one is, do you remember when? Well, that infers that they're supposed to remember and that they know they can't remember. And so now I potentially get to shut down, or I get nervous or anxious because why don't I remember that? So that word remember, do you remember when? Oh, Mom, we did that. Remember last week? You know, and that's just normal. That is just normal conversation. Or instead it would be, Mom, we went to the doctor last week and we discovered that. You know, but not asking her to remember
that, but just tell state her what happened.
Just state it.
That's amazing. Yeah. And when you think about it, you're not making them feel bad.
No, you're not challenging her. You're not wanting to quiz her. She doesn't feel like, oh my goodness, I don't. She doesn't have to reveal that I don't remember going to the doctor. It's just factual. We went to the doctor, and the doctor talked about, and we did that on Tuesday. If the, you know, whatever the personality is of your mom or dad, if they need a lot of detail, just give that to them.
Sure.
If you're a family member that's visiting, another example would be, oh, hi, Joe. It's great to see you today. I was around the corner the other day and just saw you walking out on the street. And I said to myself, Joseph, go see Joe. And you just told him your name. And he doesn't have to remember your name. And you don't have to introduce yourself like he has to save face and now and come up with, oh, I remember who you are. You know, you don't have to tell me. But you've just graciously said your name, your connection. I was around the corner. I was at church and I saw you. And I just said to myself, Daphne, go talk to Eleanor.
I love that.
So it's just things that you can graciously save face for the other person. It takes work. So as family members or caregivers of family members, don't beat yourself up when you say, remember when? Because we do it every day.
It's very true. And I think the other thing is when you're talking to somebody with dementia or Alzheimer's, there's a lot bigger element within them of fear.
Yes.
You know, they don't know what they don't know. And so they're afraid of what they don't know.
Right.
And so there's that feeling of trying to find a sense of grounding of their life. And what you're really doing is providing that framework that makes them feel comfortable in the conversation.
Give it to them. Give them the gift of saving face. Give them the gift of feeling purposeful. They know in their own heart, maybe not at that moment, but some moment during the course of the day, they're going to know, I don't remember where the coffee cups are.
You know? Or you might want to say, Mom, you've always been so amazing, and this is why. And I always remember these things. So it's coming back to give them context of, I remember when you did da-da-da-da-da. It was such a great thing that you did for us. Having that conversation and validating that individual is so important.
Yeah. You have to pay attention to their personality. If it's someone who doesn't want to be gushed on, they might feel uncomfortable. But you know, you're exactly right. But it's, you know, remember who you're talking to, what their personality is like, what's important to them. I mean, your dad might be a linear thinker and he needs to know it was on 2 o'clock on Tuesday that we went and saw Dr. So-and-so. And, you know, some other dad will just go, Dad, it was Wednesday and we went and had coffee and then we went to the doctor's office. Adjust it. You know, and but we found out this. So those are the things that you, it's all about languaging. People can do mechanical care for anyone, but can you do care of the heart? Can you do care of their ego, their emotional needs? Because that's really what matters. You know, if somebody stumbles over transferring somebody from a chair to a chair, we'll get through that. And they understand. But if you bruise their ego, or if they are feeling less than because I can't do this anymore, that takes a long time to repair.
It really does. And I think, too, with family dynamics, sometimes we get lost in the dynamic with our parent. You know, mom or dad, even if they have advanced dementia, they still know how to push your buttons.
Yes.
They always will.
And you know how to push theirs.
Yes, you do. And so that is this, the family dynamic that's always there, no matter what. That kind of, that doesn't change in many cases.
It doesn't. And that's when everybody needs to give each other grace. Because the bottom line is you're still child, parent. You're still niece, uncle, aunt, whatever it is. That is your primary relationship. And that doesn't go away with familial relationships. And so give yourself grace, compassion, patience with that other person. Think in terms of how can I uphold their dignity more than anything else.
I love that. I love that.
Uphold their dignity. It is so paramount in terms of making sure that someone feels intact so that they have a reason to get up the next day.
Oh, I love that.
Something as simple as they have a reason to listen to you when you say, you know, Mom, can you have another sip of water?
Yeah.
You know, when you're taking care of their heart and their ego, their emotions, the other things will fall into place.
I love
when
that.
You eliminate behavioral things, when you eliminate the pushback, when you eliminate someone feeling defensive or pushed into a corner, your journey with this disease of dementia will go so much better. Easier.
So we are talking to Daphne Davis from Pinnacle Senior Placements. And Daphne, you serve Western Washington pretty much all the way up to Skagit County, all the way down to Thurston.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing area. Yeah. And you have, you know, care coordinators. What do they call?
Advisors.
Advisors.
We have advisors that work with Pinnacle in given areas. So we've all got our areas of expertise. But with Pinnacle also, you get to have a team mentality. We're here to work together.
I love that. And, you know, and really to spend the time together to get to know your loved one, and they have the skills to talk to your mom or dad that you may be trying to figure out, you know, how do I reach mom or dad? And oftentimes I know the disease of dementia, as what we talked about, is fearful. And I have noticed, especially in men, maybe I'm being, you know, too stereotypical, but I have found that men especially tend to dig in their heels even more when they have dementia because they want to save face. They want to feel that, you know, that male virility.
Yeah, sense of purpose.
You know,
I'm contributing.
And I'm in charge and I'm in control. And so there's that feeling of they're not going to let their guard down to their children as a rule. Do you find that's true?
That is true. And more importantly, what I find is our job as people, caregiving roles, whatever that role is, the caregiver role, is to really think about what is the behavior, the language, the pushback, what is it really saying? People don't choose to be ornery. You know, when you're in the state of dementia, people don't want to be cantankerous and stubborn. It's the disease, and it is based in fear. And so it's our job to kind of be detectives, Sherlock Holmes, and figure out, okay, why is mom or dad responding to this situation this way? What did I say? What did I do? What just happened? Who visited them? What does this mean to them? I mean, it's all about asking questions and you figuring that out. Not out loud asking questions of the loved one because they won't be able to necessarily articulate what they're feeling.
But they get triggered.
They do. There's triggers that happen. And watch the patterns. If I could give you another good tip besides languaging, is write down patterns. If you and visit, you know, after work every day and it's 6 o'clock and you come strolling in and mom and dad are just kind of off, well, pay attention. You know, what happens at 6 o'clock, or what does that mean to them? Or are they low on protein? Do they need to have dinner? Is it before or after dinner?
Are they eating right?
Yeah. Did they get enough, you know, fluid today?
Did they have enough water?
Yeah. It's 92 degrees outside. You know, what happened? It really takes being intentional.
Or do they have a UTI?
Yep. There's all kinds of things.
That's a huge trigger.
All kinds of things.
And that happens a lot. So obviously dementia is kind of one of those things that are, that can be pronounced in various different types of circumstances, not only physical triggers, but also emotional or mental triggers.
Yeah.
You know, it might be triggered by they had a phone call with somebody, you know, an hour ago that they didn't like, or, you know, it's amazing how that happens.
It is.
Sure.
You never know where the brain goes. Personally, I walked through this disease process with my own father. And so not only see it from a professional point of view, but from a daughter's point of view. And that's an aspect that I really like to be able to share with families that, you know, my personality is let's not reinvent the wheel. But if I can get a tip from someone, let's do it. And so some of the things you have to choose in your languaging, if there's, you know, classic story. My dad was making a sandwich for lunch and he didn't want my help. And he made a Hershey's syrup sandwich. And put the Hershey's chocolate all over the sandwich. And my dad's never had a Hershey's syrup sandwich in his life. But that was not a battle that I was going to fight.
No.
And I just said, oh, Dad, I hope you enjoy your sandwich. He takes a bite of it. Dad, how's that sandwich? Oh, it's a little strong, is what he said to me. And I says, oh, would you like to have a different sandwich? And he says, no, I can make this happen. Let it go. You know, he ate his sandwich. And it was a little while later that I was able to help him in making a different sandwich because he didn't eat the sandwich. But there was no point in me telling him, Dad, that's Hershey's syrup and that doesn't go on a sandwich. That would have been barking up the wrong tree. So it's just a matter of letting things go as you see them.
Well, I'm so glad you were here today. So how do we reach you?
855-734-1500.
The preceding podcast was provided by Pinnacle Senior Placements, LLC and Answers for Elders Radio. To contact Pinnacle Senior Placements, go to pinnacleseniorplacements.com.